And now, beloved, we want to go into the Word of God, and we are going to be in the Psalms again, two passages, Psalm 11 and verse 3, and then Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you a moment to turn to those passages, Psalm 11 and 3, and Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. And I will be reading from the New International Version. Are you there? Let's begin with Psalm 11 and 3. And the writer says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Or another translation, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And then Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The word of our God. Beloved, I want to sort of share with you today around the title, "What Can the Righteous Do?" What can the righteous do? Thomas Paine has been credited with the following statement: "These are the times that try men's souls." And we can all resonate with that sentiment. We are living in a time and space in history that is trying and difficult. The coronavirus has shaken up the world. It has demonstrated that sickness, death, and difficulties can strike anybody in any place at any time. When we listen to the news reports about the new epicenters for this virus, now Detroit, New Orleans, Philadelphia, and how rapidly this virus is spreading and impacting persons and impacting families. The situation teaches us that no one, not even persons of faith, are exempt from trouble. And I know we get that. We understand that reality. But for believers, we live and trust a reality that is not just rooted in what life brings. We know that life brings its share of good and bad, of highs and lows, of sorrow and joy. We know that. But we also know that our faith gives us the capacity to trust a power and a person greater than ourselves. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Amidst the various extremes of life, Christians must resolve to be shaped by a relationship that can never be destroyed. Make no mistake about it, this coronavirus is a booger. It is tough. But those of you who are listening to me, especially members of Ebenezer, know that we have been through some tough stuff, not just nationally, not just in our communities, but we've been through some tough stuff in our lives, in our families, personally and individually. And we have seen the work of God take care of us, provide for our needs, and get us through difficult situations. That is important to know, beloved, because if ever there was a time for the righteous to be resolute about faith, that time is now. And these passages in the Psalms present two good questions. And one question is, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The second question, where do the righteous find help? Psalmist says, from where does my help come? The first question has a built-in assumption that there is the possibility of a response from the righteous. I like that. There's a possibility. And the second question also has a built-in assumption, the possibility of help. These assumptions, the possibility of a response and the possibility of help, undergird the resolve of the righteous despite the uncertainties of life. You see, these texts remind us of principles we already know, principles we already use in our lives every day. We already know that events in life do not ultimately determine the outcome for God's people. We already know that. I know you know it. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Good question. The text speaks about foundations, literally structures. That's what that word means, structures. It references the structures of life and society. And there are many structures. There's the family structure. There's the community structure and many structures within the community. There are governmental structures, medical health systems structures, economic structures, political structures, and religious structures. We depend upon these structures. They are powerful and they are familiar. And the righteous know that while there are structures that shape our lives and existence, we know that these structures can sometimes be fickle. We know that they can be fallible, and we know that they can be undependable. And we also know that God is not dependent upon human structures. God works through structures, and God works despite structures. We know that. Our outcomes are not dependent upon life's events. During this crisis, our health systems are critical. Testing, treatment, access, supplies are critical to survival. We understand how important the medical infrastructure is right now. But the righteous know that God is also a healer, and that God is also a provider. We trust the structures, but we know that the outcome is in the hand of someone more powerful. We thank God for our doctors and nurses and medical staff who are on the front lines of this battle, at risk to their own lives and at risk to their own health. We thank God for their expertise, for their commitment, and for what they are providing, and we pray for them every day. But we also know that God is the ultimate healer, and so that our lives, our outcomes are in the hand of God. We already know that. But there's another thing that the righteous already know. The righteous know that when difficulty arises, that is the main time to hold on to faith. In Psalm 11, the writer is presented with the option of fleeing. Listen to verse 1. It says, "In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains?" Apparently, the writer speaks about an attack from an enemy. Someone's life is in danger. The foundations are about to be destroyed. And the writer has two options: run in fear or stand upon faith. And the writer chooses to trust God. The writer knows that God is sovereign and vigilant. So during this time, beloved, Christians must reflect their faith choices. Do we cave in? Do we cower in fear? Or do we trust God? What can the righteous do? Hold on. Hold on to your faith. Let your life be shaped by faith and not by fear. You see, in the midst of this crisis, we've still got the regular stuff. We've still got bills to pay. We've still got family stuff, stuff with our spouses, stuff with our children, stuff with our parents, stuff with our friends. We've still got meals to pay, prepare, household chores. We've still got regular life problems. And this virus has simply piled onto us more stuff. It's just given us more stress and more pressure outside of the regular stuff we deal with all the time. And I know that being at home, sheltering in place, working from home, having the kids at home can make it seem like the walls are caving in. I feel that way too. It can be stressful. It can be difficult. But beloved, you cannot let fear and frustration destroy your faith and destroy your confidence in God. If ever there was a time to hold on and to keep pushing forward, that time is now. We're going through a difficult situation, but as I said earlier, God will get us through this. I don't mean that in a glib way. There have been some Christians and some congregations that have refused to stop gathering for worship and to exercise social distancing. They want to use faith as an excuse not to respect the health and safety of others. And that's not what I mean when I say hold on to faith. What I mean is let your faith be the barometer for what's going on in your mind and your heart. Let your faith be the barometer for what your spirit is going to be like and how you're going to get through this. Don't let this crisis lead you into despair and desperation. I'm reminded of the poet Longfellow in his poem, The Rainy Day. He says, the day is dark, cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust, the dead leaves fall and the day is dark and dreary. He goes on to say, be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each light some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. We're in a dark and dreary time. But that's the way life is sometimes. And we have been in these situations before, and God has brought us through. And if God has able to take care of us in the past, God is able to take care of us right now. So hold on to faith. That's why the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help comes from the Lord. What can the righteous do? The righteous know that events in life do not determine the outcome. The righteous know that times of difficulty are times to hold on to faith. What can the righteous do? The righteous can pray. The righteous can reach out to God. Although we are banned from gathering in places of worship, there is no ban on prayer. Where do we find help? The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So Psalm 121 puts faith into perspective. It teaches us that we do have help. when the structures of life are being destroyed. The writer suggests that we seek God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. We should seek God in prayer. Are you praying, beloved? Are you bombarding heaven with your petitions and intercessions for others? You see, being a person of faith in this situation is critical. Religious institutions are being challenged, but we cannot be shaped solely by what society is doing. We have to be shaped by what we believe. And our faith teaches us how we ought to respond. And so we are shaped then by what we do and how we respond. And one of the ways that we can respond is through prayer. We can pray via phone calls, texts, emails, and tweets. We can pray individually. We can pray as families. We can pray as mission partners, as brothers, as members of the body of Christ. We can pray in our homes. We can pray in our cars. And we can pray in our hearts. We can pray, beloved, because prayer is essential. Prayer doesn't exempt us from doing what we can do. Prayer simply acknowledges that God is in charge. You know, we've been getting constant updates from our leaders about the virus, the numbers, the efforts at containment, information about treatment. Man, I tell you, listening to that all day long can be troubling. And listening at the increase in cases and the increase in the numbers of people who are dying, I mean, that can stress your mind. It makes you worry. And it's good that we get the updates. It's good that we have the information. We need to know what's going on. We've been admonished to practice good hygiene and social distancing. But beloved, we also need a national call to prayer. We need all people of faith. And goodwill to connect to the God of creation and to pray to God for guidance, for healing, for strength, and for wisdom. The country needs the church, people of faith, the people of God, to lead us to the altar and to bring our burdens to the Lord. Prayer makes all the difference in the world. Because prayer comforts the spirit. Prayer brings peace to the soul. Prayer cleans the mind and the heart and clears the way for a divine conversation. Prayer calls God into action. That's why the psalmist says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord will keep you from all evil." God goes into action when we pray. And I want you to know right now, God is already in action. And God has always been in action because prayer works. And so that's my message to you, beloved. What can the righteous do? The righteous can trust the outcome to God. The righteous can hold on to their faith. And the righteous can pray together and call on the name of God. That's why that song is so powerful. Just a little talk with Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Sometimes my path seems drear, without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. You know how the refrain goes. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now, when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hang in there, beloved. The Lord God be with you. The Lord God be in your families. You are people of God. You are people of faith. God is on your side. I want to pray now. There's anyone listening to me who's not a member of a church, who's never responded to God in faith, I want you to know that God cares about you too, and that you can find the path to God in your heart and in your spirit. All you have to do is ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, to come into your heart and to be the Lord of your life. And if you ask that by faith, if you ask trusting and believing in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, his death for our sin on the cross, his resurrection for the new life that he offers, then you can be saved. Then you will be saved. And so as we pray, we're praying for you as well, and we invite you to reach out to God and let God speak to you. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, in your word you tell us that your grace is sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And we thank you, O God, that in this situation that we are reminded of your sufficient grace. We thank you, O God, for reminding us through your word today that the righteous can do something. The righteous can resolve to trust in you, because we know that the events of life do not ultimately determine the outcomes that you intend. We know, O God, that in difficulty, that it's most important to hold on to faith. We know that the righteous can pray. And so we come now, dear God, in the precious name of Jesus. We pray for our families. We pray for our homes. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our communities. We pray for covering. We pray for healing. Oh God, we pray for the doctors and nurses and attendants who are on the battlefield in hospitals and in other places, treating and caring for persons impacted by this virus and other things. We pray for your comfort, your protection, your care for them and for their families that must sacrifice having them away. We pray for all of the leaders of our nation, our state, our city, who are making decisions. Oh God, help them. Oh God, give them wisdom, give them guidance. Oh God, give them direction. Give our country direction. We need you, Lord, in leadership at all levels. We pray for all of the places that are essential and have to be open, places that have to provide food and places that have to provide medicines and other essentials, and the persons who have to go to work who are also putting themselves and their families at risk to provide resources for us to be able to survive. Oh Lord, navigate this situation. Help us during this crisis. We pray for scientists and others who have the expertise to work on cures and to work on medicines and treatments. Give them wisdom. Give them insight, O God, in the name of Jesus. Just superintend this situation. Oh God, we pray for the church. We pray for the people of God and people of faith everywhere. And we pray that faith will hold the day and that prayer will make a difference and that the church will stand and be strong. And then, Lord, we pray for the unchurched and the unsaved and those out there listening who might not know you as Savior and as Lord. Help them to say in their heart, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I want you to come into my heart and into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Help them to pray that prayer of faith, oh God, to come to faith in you and to find some faith community where they can grow and belong to a people who follow Christ, where they can find a platform for their faith to ignite and grow so that you can use them as well to go out and to be the presence of Christ in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, beloved. It's wonderful to be in the sanctuary today and to spend worship with you. And I pray that your day will be blessed. Please look forward to the Bible study via podcast on the website this week. And please continue to lift all of us in prayer. We bless you and we miss you and we look forward to meeting with you again. Amen.